We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, God's Design for Human Sexuality, from the series Stronger. He'll uncover the liberating and purposeful design God has for your sexuality beyond mere self-indulgence. Now, here's today's program.
We say, well, how do I get over lust? You submit to God, and God's strength is perfected in your weakness. When you can confess to the Lord, hey, God, I can't do this thing. I can't live this thing. I can't live pure like you're asking, but you say that I can, so I need your help in my life to do this very thing. And God always empowers his children who are depending upon him. It's a fact. You can live a pure life. God has the power to do that in the same way that he raises you up. And just think about this. I mean, so often we don't apply certain scriptures to sexuality, but in Galatians 5:22, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, that nine-sectioned fruit. But think about it as it relates to sexuality. I mean, when you do it God's way and you abstain from sex until you're married and then in marriage, you have God-honoring sexuality, what is the result of that? First one, love. Love. Can I just pause there for a second? Because I feel like I need to share this as your pastor because I love you so much. Ladies, listen to me. If you're dating a guy that says, hey, the reason we're doing this is this just shows that you love me. Let me tell you something. If you're engaging in sex outside your marriage, he doesn't love you. He just doesn't love you. If the guy's saying, hey, sex is the way to say thanks for a great date, don't even get worried. Just say, no, that's not how it works. Here's how it would be thanks for me. Why don't you come vacuum my carpet and clean my dishes and clean my house and do my laundry? And that would show more love to me than sex would, right? Love. There is no love sexually outside of marriage, period. End of story. No such thing. Yeah, but we're living together and he told me if I break up with him, he's not gonna marry me. Let me tell you something. He ain't ever gonna marry you. I mean, it's kind of like the old saying goes, why buy the cow if you get the milk for free? You know what I'm saying? I mean, here's the purpose. You live pure before God. Now you might be saying, well, if I live pure before God, how am I ever gonna meet my spouse? The same way Eve did. God brought Eve to the man. Guys, how are you gonna meet your spouse? God will bring the woman right in your path if you're glorifying and honoring him. That's what he does. So as you're thinking about this, the enemy will always lie to you and say, it's not gonna happen to you. There are no other virgins out there but you. You're never gonna have a good marriage. You might as well give in now. I heard all those same thoughts the same way you're hearing all those thoughts. They're lies. The truth is that you can live pure and experience the blessing of sexuality in marriage just the way God defined. And now a word for the guys. Because I know we live in a day and age where it's not chic to be a virgin until you're married, but God thinks it is. And if you want a blessing on your marriage, remain a virgin until you're married. Amen. And if you say, well, I've already blown that, then start today and repent. And from this moment on, live for the glory of God. Amen? That's what he would say. And where am I gonna get the power to do that? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, because that's the kind of power that you're gonna need to live for God. But God will empower his design and he'll hold you personally accountable to it. We're gonna give an answer for how we lived in this body. Let me give you a third thing. When it comes to your sexuality, God designed a union. He designed a union in sexuality that becomes either wonderfully satisfying or incredibly painful. He designed a union in sexuality that becomes either wonderfully satisfying or incredibly painful. Now, three different times we're gonna see it the rest of this section. Do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know? Because Paul's talking to them about if you really understood God and you really understood your body, you would know this, but you really don't. So do you not know, Corinthians? Check this out. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Hey, Harvest, do you not know that when you trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, that you became part of the body of Christ and that your body, your physical body represents Christ on planet Earth and how you live is marking you or making a distinction for how you live the gospel out? Do you not know that? I mean, you are part of the body of Christ when you trust in Christ. And notice what he says. Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. In other words, if Christ is in you, when you go join yourself to someone else, you're taking Jesus with you. The question is Jesus having as much fun in this experience as you are? Now, here's the question. Why is Paul talking about prostitutes in church? Let me tell you why. Because clearly in the first century, there were some men that were in the church that were married, that were living with their wives, that had their marriage relationship that was kept pure, but they had some things on the side going on to make sure their sex life could be fulfilled. And there were clearly men in the church that were visiting prostitutes. Can you believe that happened in the first century? Can you believe that there were actually men in church that were married, that were getting their sexual fulfillment from somebody other than their wife? It happens all the time. I've been in ministry for 25 years. It happens all the time. There are some of you that are listening to my voice right now. It's you. I'm talking to you. You know I'm talking to you. You're married. Your wife doesn't know, but she probably does know and just doesn't want to know. But you know that you have an extramarital relationship out here and it's not honoring to God. And you know it's not honoring to God, but you continue in it. And it's going on. And the reason you're not getting up and leaving right now, even though you want to, is because you know if you got up right now, everybody would be like, oh, it's him, right? That's why some of you are like, I have to go to the bathroom really bad right now, but there's no way I'm leaving my seat. Right? That was going on then. It goes on now. And Paul was telling them, you got to understand something. In the very next verse, he tells them, here's what happens when you join yourself to a prostitute. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to the prostitute is one body with her? For he says, and he quotes Genesis 2:24, the two shall become one flesh. Every time there's a sexual union, there's a oneness that's created whether you want it or not. Why? Because sex is more than physical. Right. Sex is a spiritual act that God designed to create oneness between a husband and a wife. And if you use that in a way outside of marriage, it still creates a oneness. You still become one flesh with the person that you engaged in sex with, even though you didn't intend to, or even though you didn't want to. And that's why there's such pain in sex outside of marriage, because you just became one flesh with that person. It's not physical, it's spiritual, it's emotional, it's a mental, and God is binding something together, right? That's why sexual sin hurts more than any other kind of sin. That's why you can't get rid of it. That's why it hurts so bad. I mean, I tell a story about a time several years ago, I was at Disneyland, which is kind of one of my most unfavorite places on the planet. And it was about 100 degrees one day and I was walking and we were out with our family. And to add insult to injury, just happened to step in some warm chewing gum. Kind of the one where you take the next step and the whole thing follows you, you know? And it was there and I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. And I went and I sat down, I tried to scrape it off. I couldn't get it all off. I mean, I couldn't get off. It was like a quarter-sized piece of gum stuck to the bottom of my sandal. And to make matters worse, since I couldn't get off, it just got more dirty. It just collected dirt with the stick on the gum. And everywhere I walked for the rest of the week, I was like, oh my gosh, stepping in gum. I could feel it on every single step because some of the gum stuck. And I couldn't get it off. That's what sexual sin is like. Some of the gum sticks. You have sex outside your marriage. You have sex before you get into a marriage and some of the gum sticks. And no matter what you do, you can't wrestle it off. You can't pry it off. You can't pray it. It's just there. And there ain't nothing I can do about it. And that's why some of you here who have even been married for a period of time, you look back on your dating life and you're like, why did I do what I did? If I could go back and hit a rewind switch, there's no way I would have done it this way. Right? Some of you that are married wished that your husband would have been different prior to you getting married. And hey, why didn't you honor me enough? And why didn't you do this stuff enough? Because some of the gum stuck. The gum always sticks. Like you can't just say, well, that's never gonna happen to me and I'm okay and I can get by with it. No, some of the gum will stick and there's always pain when the gum sticks.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Design for Human Sexuality, from the series Stronger, uncovering the liberating and purposeful design God has for your sexuality beyond mere self-indulgence. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, We want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Again, that's BravePastorJeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
There's always pain. I mean, I was going to do a little construction paper project. I practiced it in my office about three times. It didn't work, but I was going to glue construction paper together during my sermon and then rip it apart and show you what it looks like. You know, just have little fragmented pieces. And this person you don't even want to be connected to anymore that you weren't intending to marry anyway, you still feel this gum because it's stuck. And you're like, what do I do now? And I wish I could go back to what it was before, but I can't. Why? Because sex is way more powerful than physical. And our world doesn't know that, right? And I know there's some of you here that are challenging me on it. I mean, I'm a guy. I mean, I get it. I haven't always been a pastor. I know what some of you are saying. Like, that's his opinion. It's not my opinion, it's God's opinion, and he's right and he's true and everything. But for some of you, like, no, I can do whatever I want. I can sleep with my girlfriend. We're probably gonna get married anyway, and it's no big deal, and I get away with it, and I don't see any pain coming, and I've been doing this for 5 years, and it's not a big deal. Here's how I would describe it to you. You're missing out on the fullness of everything God has. Let me give you an example. I remember when I was 4 or 5 for Christmas, I got a big wheel. Remember what those big wheel things were? Had two little wheels in the back and one big wheel in the front. That's why they called it a big wheel. And it had a steering column and it had a seat. So it had everything you needed to go where you needed to go. And at age 4 and 5, it was really cool. I mean, I get up and down my driveway. I get to my neighbor's house. I mean, I was pretty jazzed about my big wheel. Now, I'm older now. I have a truck. I'm not all that jazzed about a big wheel anymore. Now, my truck still has a steering column. My truck still has a seat. And my truck still has wheels, but it can do things that my big wheel couldn't do. I could talk on the phone through Bluetooth in my truck. I could sit comfortably going 80 miles an hour in my truck. Not that you're supposed to do that. I'm normally 65. But I can sit comfortably in it doing those things, right? Because there's so much more to my truck than there was to my big wheel. So here's what I say to you. They say, no, I'm fooling around. I'm doing whatever. All you're doing is saying, I got a really nice big wheel. Because I want to tell you something, despite what the world tells you, sexual fidelity inside a marriage is all that and a bag of chips. It's the way God designed it. God gave us this gift. God said it's good. We're going to talk about it next week in detail. It's what he wanted for us. Do you know that? And I'm just telling you, those of you who aren't married yet, those of you who want to be married, I mean, take these words to heart, put them into practice. You will have good friends that are like, I agree with this, I agree with this. And you'll watch them go a different way and you'll feel like you're all alone. But I'm telling you, if you'll hold to God's word by your wedding day and you get married and you're honoring God, you will say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Jeff. You were so right. God honored this, right? Like, you can't mess with this stuff. It just works. It's true. Verse 17, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one in spirit with him. You're one with Christ. You're one with Christ. So the question to ask is not, can I get away with this? Am I having fun? Because I'm one with Christ, I'm praying. I'm saying, Jesus, are you getting glory out of this? Are you being honored by this? Are you blessed by the way I'm living out my sexuality? And say, well, how do I know? What his answer is? Read it in the word. And if it boils down to honoring God and serving your spouse with everything you have to bring pleasure and honor and joy to him or her, then the answer is yes. And if it's not, it's sinful. Let it go. That's God's design. And it can become wonderfully satisfying or incredibly painful. I mean, God designed it in a marriage for a man and a woman to have an incredibly satisfying sexual life that gets better and better. And let me just tell you this, because I'll probably expand on this next week a lot. Because here's what you hear in the world. Hey, have as much sex as you want now, because when you get married, you know, people just aren't into that anymore. Plus, you're going to be like old and it's just not going to work anymore and all this kind of stuff. It's a big lie. According to the Bible, and I would tell you by personal experience, it gets better and better and better and better. And I got people 30 years my senior that would tell you the exact same thing, right? It's God's design for sex and it's good. As a matter of fact, he says it's very good. And I do have to pause here for a minute. Because I realize after being a pastor for some 25 years, I know this to be the case. I know it, and I'm sorry that this is the case. That some of you are sitting here listening to this message and saying, yeah, I'm hearing this one flesh thing, but I was 6 years old when that happened to me. And I didn't want that. And now what do I do? Because now you're telling me I'm one flesh with my dad, with my coach, with my pastor, with my teacher off in the background. I mean, what the heck was that? I didn't ask for that. And I just want to tell you something. 100% wrong. And there's 100% healing for what God can do in your life. And I'm going to show you in a minute how God can take care of that. And God can heal you. Because I know it's true. Because some of you girls, you were raped. And some of you girls weren't honored by the men that you dated. And some of you girls thought you were going to be honored by the men that you dated, but they didn't keep their hands off you. And you kind of thought he was trustworthy, but he wasn't trustworthy. And I want to tell you, there's healing for that. And I don't just want to say women, because I've done enough counseling to know there's probably 5% of the guys that are here that have dealt with the same kind of thing. I just know it's true. And I just want to tell you, there's healing. And there's hope. And our God is good. And the blood of Jesus on the cross washes away all sin. And I'll show you how that works in just a minute. But this is a big deal. That's why it's wonderfully satisfying or it's incredibly painful. I mean, I don't know how many times I've sat down in a counseling office and one of the spouses, before they got married, wanted to talk to me, hey, right before we go to the altar, hey, I got to tell you something because I just got to get this off my chest because here's some things in my life that my spouse doesn't even know about yet and here's what's going on and I'm dying on the inside, right? Because what? Because they didn't do it God's way. That's why I love what God gives us instruction to do in the last three verses. It's what you need to understand about your sexuality. God delights in you when you flee immorality and when you glorify him. God will delight in you when you flee immorality and you glorify him. Notice how verse 18 starts, just two simple words. Flee immorality. You know what flee means? It means run away as fast as you stinking can. It means get away from this stuff. Why? Because you can't play around with sexual temptation and not get burned. It's like playing with fire and saying, I'm not gonna get burned. I'll just look a little bit on the internet. It'll have you before you even know it. We'll just talk on the phone. I mean, I'm not gonna really pursue her. We're just gonna be friends and share our hearts with one another. It's not gonna work. And ladies, let me just tell you something, because I'd say this to our men's ministry all the time. I just want you to know, as your pastor, I wanna love you as your pastor. I wanna care for you as your pastor. I'm here for you as your pastor. Even Kim and I will meet with you, but I wanna make something really clear. We're never gonna be best friends, okay? Like, my wife's my best friend. So she gets all my emotion. She gets all my heart. We're not going to go out and have coffee together or dinner. We're not going to text together unless my wife's on the script. We're not going to email unless my wife's on the... Why? Because I don't want to be one of those, like several of my colleagues have been, they have to stand in front of a church on a Sunday morning and say, listen, I'm no longer your pastor. There's something I need to tell you. I've been having a sexual relationship outside of my marriage and I disqualified myself as your pastor. So pray for me, pray for my family and pray for the next pastor, but see you later. I would rather have a stake driven through my heart than to ever have to do that. I want to live with integrity in such a way I never have to do that. So it's not like I walk around and I'm like scared, but I want to set healthy boundaries for my marriage because I love my wife so much and I love Christ Church so much that I never have to worry about it, right? And that's what we want to do as a staff. I'm just telling you, flee immorality. About the only good story in the Bible is Joseph, right? I mean, when he flees immorality from Potiphar's wife, and what happens? He ends up going to prison for 3 years in Genesis 39, because why? Because he goes in and she's like, hey, come lie with me. He's like, I'm out of here. And he ran so fast, he left his coat. And she's like, look it, he came in to have sex with me. And when I screamed, he dropped his coat and ran. She lied. And he ends up in prison for 3 years. But you know what God did? God honored him and put him second in charge, right? God will always honor your fidelity sexually to him. Right? Because it belongs to him. Flee sexual immorality. Don't toy with it. Well, I thought we were just gonna be friends. You know, we just had dinner. Our families just vacationed together. I mean, it was just this. I mean, I've heard that story probably over 1,000 times. If I would have only known that my spouse was feeling this way about his spouse or he was feeling that way about her spouse, I mean, I just would have never done this. Just don't have conversations outside your marriage that your spouse doesn't know about. That's a really healthy thing to do. Flee immorality. Why? Because every other sin that a man commits is outside his body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. There's no sin quite as painful as sexual sin. That's what he's saying. In other words, there's no sin that's too great to be forgiven. You can be forgiven from any sin, but there is a pain that comes out of sexual sin that goes deeper and wounds harder than any other kind of sin. That's what sexual sin does. You're sinning against yourself when you sin sexually. You're actually hurting yourself when you sin sexually. So he says, don't do that. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? There you go. We're the church. Your body is a temple where the Spirit of God dwells, who is in you, whom you have from God. And guess what? And that you're not your own. Did you know you're not your own? I mean, if you've trusted in Christ, you don't belong to you anymore. You belong to Jesus. Notice what verse 20 says, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. For what purpose? To glorify him. With what? With my body, with everything that I have. I'm called to glorify God, right? That's what I'm called to do. And that's what God wants you to do. Flee immorality and glorify him, and you'll have the delight of the Lord. And there's nothing more exciting than having God being for you in everything. That's who our God is. Now, I'm telling you, when I preach a message like this, I mean, I've thought about this message all week because I've known I was going to preach this message for a long time because I know what's coming because we're a Bible church and we kind of go word by word, verse by verse. I know I'm preaching on sex and marriage next week, so you want to come back and be a part of that because I'll tell you things that the world's not telling you. But at the end of the day, I also know that when I'm preaching this message, there's some of you that are saying this. I wish I would have heard this message 25 years ago. Wish I would have heard this message 5 months ago. Hey, I wish I would have heard this message before last night. Hey, because here's what I understand, Jeff. I know God forgives me, but I feel so lousy on the inside. I know there's several of you that feel that way. So let me give you an illustration. I mean, it's kind of like this. Imagine this pure water representing your heart and this red food coloring just representing sexual sin. And let's just say, I mean, just a couple drops because that's about all it takes for sexual sin to start marring the inside of your heart. I mean, you shake that around a little bit. I mean, here's the deal. Here's how some of you feel right now. You would say, I know Jesus has forgiven me. I know that I'm his, but this is how I feel on the inside. I feel awful. This was robbed from me when I was a little girl. This was robbed from me from my family. This was robbed from me when I was younger. If I would have only known this when I dated, I would never have gone down. This is how I feel. And if I could just hit rewind, I mean, I know that I'm loved, but this is how I feel. I feel so icky on the inside. I know that several of you here today, but that's the good news. You are bought with a price. Can I tell you what the price is? The price was the blood and body of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood to forgive all your sins. And forgiveness is not just a, hey, yeah, it's forgiven, but you can live with the scar. Here's what forgiveness looks like. If this represents Christ, it looks kind of like this. The more you allow the Spirit of Christ to be poured into your life, here's what happens. It kind of goes like this. Jesus takes what is scarlet and he makes it white as snow again. Isn't that awesome? Which means this, if you trusted in Jesus, you don't walk out of here with your head down and you don't walk out of here in shame and you don't walk out of here and say, I'm an adulterer. You don't walk out of here and say, I used to be this. You walk out of here and you say this, I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I am a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. This is who I am in Christ. And from this moment on, I'm gonna live the way God wants me to live. See, some of us, because of our shame and living in our past with our sexual sin, we say stuff like this. Well, I already went down the road. I guess I gotta marry him now. I already went down this road. I might as well keep having sex now. I already went down this road. I'm already used goods now. No, you're not. You are a child of the Most High God. And when you repent and confess, you are cleansed. You are clean. And from this moment on, you can live for the glory of God right here in this place onward till you meet him face to face. Isn't that good news? It's better than a rewind switch. It's a cleansing power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who you are in him. So as we end our service today, I'm gonna have you stand here in a minute. And we're just gonna pray. And I don't know how you need to pray. I don't know what you need to confess, but I'll tell you this. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, there is not one person in this room that's been through puberty that would say, I've lived perfect. Not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And regardless of the number of sins and regardless of the intensity of the sin, at the cross of Jesus, all can be forgiven.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Design for Human Sexuality, from the series Stronger, uncovering the liberating and purposeful design God has for your sexuality beyond mere self-indulgence. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.